Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live. This is your host, Jim Masters. It is 3 p.m. Eastern, and it is noon Pacific. And wherever you are around the world, we wish you the very, very best. It is Friday, March 27th, 2020. And we know we have a lot of listeners who are tuned in right now from all around the world because they know that we are here to provide a service every single day. For two decades, Close Up Television and Radio has provided service to our listeners, to our viewers, providing useful information, providing topical information, pivoting when we need to pivot in relation to current events and news events. And also providing a wonderful venue for our exclusive guest experts who join us here, who we celebrate and showcase on the air live from all around the world, fields of endeavor, wealths of experience, perspective, wisdom, and so much more. And we're doing that right now, of course, with our shows, especially around the coronavirus, which is something that you really can't get through the day without hearing about or having some impact made on all of our lives, whether it's economic or we know somebody perhaps who is dealing with the virus, or we're doing everything that we can to prepare ourselves by staying home and being safe and washing the hands and doing all the preparations. So a lot of our guests here on the program have been talking about the different ways that each of us can not only cope with the situation, but get through the situation, be creative during the situation, adapt and be flexible and pivot, because there are a lot of changes that are happening swiftly. And as opposed to freezing in place or panicking or thinking that the world is coming to an end, the world isn't coming to an end, though it is changing, obviously. This came out of left field. It's unprecedented. We're all in this together. So having that knowledge that we are, you know, some of these feelings that you're feeling and I'm feeling and our guest is feeling and everybody's feeling, we're all feeling at the same time. So there is some of that strength in numbers. So our guests who are experts in dealing in many different situations with in the business climate as well as just in life in general have been providing content, topical and useful information on our broadcasts that have been very helpful to our listeners. It's our honor and privilege to be able to do that here on Close Up Radio and Close Up Television. We're doing that today on this particular episode with one of my favorite guests, Lindy Brewster. Now, I've had an opportunity to interview her numerous times here on the broadcast series, but also in person at our television station in the New York tri-state area. And she is extraordinary. Lindy is a principal of OR Consulting, a firm that she helped establish in the United States about 20 years ago. And she has seen it all. Lindy and her firm are distinguished for bringing psychology and its framework to the management consulting industry. And they really delight in watching how people with their distinct emotions and personalities and ideas really learn to solve complex problems among themselves. A lot of people are doing that right now. A lot of people are doing that to help facilitate, you know, their future in a positive way. We're all pivoting. We're all shifting. Not giving up or giving in, just pivoting and shifting and keeping things moving forward. The river may seem like it's flowing in the opposite direction, but still everybody should be paddling, and we're all here together. Lindy has been helping her clients. I just asked her before we went live on the air, I said, you know, are things very slow right now? Are you finding clients are pulling back? People are just not, you know, interested in doing anything. And she said, it's quite the opposite. Her phone is very busy. Her work is very busy because through technology, Skype and Zoom and, of course, phone and texting and all the rest, email, she's still able to provide her services, and people are coming to her and her team for the services. So there's all kinds of online collaborations that are happening and so much more. So, again, there are ways to seize opportunities like this when they seem daunting to be able to move forward for the greater good of each of us. So today we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about something that we are all needing and we are all experiencing, resilience. And that's very important because it's something we really have to call upon now more than ever, because this is a global situation and it's happening, you know, in that other town or to those people over there collectively that's happening to us all. So with incredible advice, wisdom, perspective, and pertinent information, as always, it's my pleasure to welcome our very special guest, Lindy Brewster, back to Close Up Radio Live as we continue our exclusive series together. Lindy, thank you very much for joining us here all the way from Virginia. We appreciate your time as well. I know it's a very busy time for you, and thanks for being with us on the show today.
Thanks, Jim. It's always a pleasure talking with you on the show. In the introduction there, where you were talking about adapting and pivoting, that's what we talked about last week. And it's amazing how quickly things have progressed this week with many states now asking people to remain in their homes. And the impact that has on businesses is huge. So as we start to talk about resilience, I'd like to start by just reflecting on And really saying that my heart is with those people who have spent years creating businesses that they've put everything into, and they're looking at devastation at this minute. And so what I'm going to talk about, I'll talk a little bit about how people are coping with that, and we cope with that in different ways. So for those people who are out there that are looking at what's happened and are in complete despair for the future, some of what I'm going to say will probably be just that step too hard for you. So if you are in deep despair, what I'd encourage you to do is to reach out and find one of the counselors that I know are being asked to step forward and support people through this incredibly stressful and devastating time. For other people, though, they're facing a level of stress that they probably have never faced before. It's interesting, actually, when you look at the research about resilience, what it shows is that something between 33% and 45% of people seem naturally to demonstrate resilience. If you're not one of those people, don't despair about that. It's simply to do with, in part, a little bit around genetics, but it's also to do with the social networks and support that people have around them, which is the reason that if you're out there and in despair, I'm encouraging you to reach out and find that. So we've talked previously about work that I've done with James Madison University as part of something called the Summit Series. And what I focused on in that work was looking at leadership in extreme situations, which means leadership going in at the point of extreme crisis. And that included some of the epidemics we've seen over the last few years, as well as earthquakes, war, political unrest, and the rest of it. And looking at what distinguished them from other people. And one of the things that is very clear is that what distinguishes them are they are people who are resilient. They're people who are unflagging. They're very resourceful in these situations. They tend to be unflappable. They tend to be fearless. And they have a level of emotional intelligence and situational awareness that's higher than most other people. And in truth, those things differentiate those leaders from people that you would normally see in a situation, say, in the US or Europe or elsewhere, where people are working in not difficult situations. They're working in under normal circumstances. Some of those traits they have in common. So the best leaders anywhere would have emotional intelligence. However, there's a level of that unflappableness and resourcefulness and resilience that is way above what you would see in normal circumstances. So what can you do about it if you're facing the situation where maybe you've had to furlough all of your staff, maybe you are looking at a bank account that's telling you that the business is not going to survive unless you take extreme measures, which might include declaring bankruptcy, which is a very difficult place to go to. What can you do to gain more resiliency? So I thought it would be worth our while, Jim, just looking at some of the research that underpins that, and certainly was research that informed what we saw coming out of the interviews that we did with leaders in the field in these difficult situations. But just before I go there, would you like to reflect a little bit further on what people are facing at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because, you know, being in the media and being a communicator and knowing a lot of people and constantly interacting, you know, being a public figure, there's been a lot of people coming to me through whether it's social media or just calling or emailing, texting, checking in, which is a beautiful thing. And I've always been doing what I've been doing, which is through a crisis or not, providing empowerment, inspiration, encouragement to people. I mean, I do that whether we're in a crisis or not. It's just a part of my DNA. It's who I am. It's how I was raised. The family is very much like that way. You know, we're all in this together. Let's pull together. So it's what I do. So I've been trying to do that for people. Many of them are people that I've worked with over the years in various venues who have had businesses and clients. When I used to do a radio show for 18 years on iHeartRadio nationwide, I met a lot of business owners and a lot of clients who, you know, were salon owners and pizza shop owners and restaurateurs and many other different kinds of businesses. And right now they're struggling because everything is closed and they don't know what's happening and what to do. I have seen a number of people expressing themselves, their fear, their anxiety, their sadness. The virus scares them to interact, to go outside. So they're taking precautions, of course, which is important. But the key is to not let it overrule or overwhelm you. And that's what I've been trying to tell people. I'm as concerned as I'm sure you are and everybody else is, because this is foreign to us. This is unknown. It's ever changing. However, I've been trying to offer guidance and support and kind words to lift people up, to encourage people, to bring back some familiar things. I've been even posting pictures on my social media of things that are constants. For example, we were at the park the other day, and there were these, and again, these are simple constants in our lives. There were daffodils that were coming up through the ground, and they were just about ready to bloom, not quite yet, but coming up from the ground. Something that reminds us that there are constants in our life, like the sun rising, the sun setting, the ocean tide, daffodils coming up through, you know, the garden dirt, whatever it is, that we can still depend on. There are cycles of life. There are constants in life that are there in these uncertain times. So I've been trying to pinpoint that and share that as I see it during my day, and offer, again, some perspective and reassurance to literally everybody, or clients or friends. I think it's important to do that because we can get stuck in the overwhelm of the fear. And that can be really tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what I'm hearing in you and what I know about you, as you said at the start, you know, we've met, we've talked a lot now. You exude optimism and a groundedness. And what the research indicates is that people who have an optimistic approach to life and have that groundedness, that self-confidence, and also people who are able to not want immediate gratification, they're prepared to wait to achieve their future goals. They see things in the long term, are the people that show resilience. Now, you can't just jump to that. And I think it's probably very daunting for those people who are feeling completely overwhelmed to even think about what optimism and confidence might look like and believe themselves not able to get there. What we're going to talk about that in the next 15 minutes or so is that are the things that you can do that build that. Because when we're feeling at our most pessimistic, we tend to give up and we tend to think there's nothing we can do. We fall into a victim position. We may get very angry and want to fight it, but we're not really coming from those parts of the brain where we're conscious. We're just reacting to what's around. So when you look at what we can do, there are tremendous things that we can do that actually change the way our brain works and can change it in a matter of weeks. And again, I'm going to emphasize, I'm not talking about those people who may be listening in who've lost everything and are in the deepest depths of despair. I think that they probably need to reach out for help. This is for people who are feeling somewhat pessimistic, are struggling, maybe are panicking a bit, worrying about the virus, worrying about the what-ifs. This is really more for them, the next few steps. So one of the things that you see that are the steps towards getting to a place where you can approach what we're facing with a view to the future, which is really what optimism means. What you see people do is start to find a meaningful purpose in life. So that reflection you had on the daffodils coming up, and, you know, the sun comes up every day, I think is the start of us getting ourselves grounded, because there is a purpose in life. And what we're experiencing is something devastating and in the moment. But if we can look at how life carries on, the rhythm of life carries on, and reflect on that, and even if you're only able to get out in your backyard because you are you've got to stay in your house, or even if you're in an apartment and all you can see outside is a tree, just spend some time just looking at that and reflecting on it. We've got time to do that at the moment. And that, I think, helps us to get a sense of groundedness. The world carries on, and we actually have a choice as to how we engage with that going forward. One of the things that you see people who do demonstrate resilience do is not that they optimistically ignore everything that's going on. Far from it. I mean, you will see people grieving and sitting with their emotions and being very upset and being very frightened. But at the same time, they can see that purpose in life. And they can also see that both positive and negative experiences lead to positive growth, and they'll step into those. There's been some remarkable research inquiries which have demonstrated that. There was one that was done in the 70s that followed up on four children who had been rescued from the camps in Germany in the war, a couple from Auschwitz, who'd seen dead bodies being piled up and burned, so very traumatized kids who'd ended up in an orphanage. And they were traced through back in 1978 to see how they'd done through life. And what they found was that two of the children had not done well at all, but two of the children had done remarkably well and were living very grounded lives with families. They were able to reflect on what they'd seen in the past, and they were able to reflect on what they took from that in terms of their personal growth and how they thought forward. That's the difference between resilience and not resilience. And they then looked at what those children had, two that did well as adults, compared to the two children that didn't. And one of the things that was very clear was that they had very positive social networks and support. So if you don't have a social network and support at the moment, start to think how you build that, because we all have networks, but we often don't recognize them as networks that we can use. And I say that because I was talking with a leader that I'm working with at this minute, who is actually in the throes of setting up a business at this time, which is very daunting. She's leaving her current employment and setting up this business. And she was saying, I don't know where to start. You know, I don't know what to do. And she then started talking about how people from her network had reached out to her and said, well, we could help you. But she wasn't seeing that. And so we talked about that. And most of us will have a network that we can reach out to. I would encourage people to reflect on that network and start to use it. You don't have to know everybody in the network. You just have to know the nearest people to you. And once you connect with those, it'll connect you with other people. So that's the first step. Start to get yourself grounded. Start to build that social network that will help you to deal with not just the here and now, but to help you build back for the future, because that thought about the future is really, really important. And by the way, what the research also shows is that because we can impact our brain, and I'm going to talk about some of the things we can do to impact our brain, although there was some genetic research a number of years ago that suggested that the things that I've just talked about in terms of resilience had a genetic component, in truth, the genetic component is being shown to be much less than our ability to change our brain. And I think it's really important that as leaders, we keep that in mind. We can take control of our future. We can change our brain, but we have to take time for ourselves in order to build that psychological well-being and in truth to maintain our physical well-being. So if you look at what those steps are beyond the social networks and support, that's the first step. You need that in place. There's been a lot of research over the last 20 plus years around how reflection and mindfulness in particular helps us to not only become self-aware of our emotional reactions, but actually that practice of mindfulness helps us to change how we show up, helps us to actually change our brain. Now, I'm not going to talk through steps of mindfulness today. What I'd encourage people to do if they're interested is to Google it and look at where you can link into that and what you might do for around it. But I am going to talk about one mindfulness practice in particular, and it's called compassionate meditation. And it's really based around empathy. It's meditation that reflects outwards, not inwards. It's thinking about people we know. So it's actually thinking about that social and relational network in a way that thinks about caringly about those people. So the starting point here would be to not spend time going over and over and over what's wrong in our place, but to think about those people that we know and put ourselves in their shoes and think in a compassionate way about them. That sounds counterintuitive and really difficult to do. However, there was some research that a person called Richard Davidson did starting in 2004, and he's continued with the practice of mindfulness over many years. He looked at, in particular, what one monk who, a Buddhist monk, and you don't have to be a Buddhist monk, by the way, to do this, he just happened to find a Buddhist monk who wanted to be a subject in the research, who every day practiced compassionate meditation. And what they found as they did MRI scans on his brain to see what was happening was that actually what happened was that the gamma waves he generated during the periods of meditation blocked out pain and helped him to change the way he looked at the world and change his brain. We talked last week about laying down neural pathways, and this is one way of laying it down. And I know a lot of people will be sort of thinking, well, mindfulness, that's great, but it's kind of like akin to tree hugging. Why would we do that? Well, actually, we do it for a very good reason, because it improves both our psychological well-being, but it also improves our physical well-being. And now is the time that we need that, and we need that resilience, and we have time to do that. Now, he was looking at a monk who had done the practice over a number of years. There's been other research that's taken students and asked them to take part in the same kind of mindfulness exercises. And what they've found is using a really quite short daily practice of mindfulness, those students changed their brains in between 4 and 7 weeks. So you can have an immediate impact that starts to put you in a place where you're very resilient. There are other ways, though. I mean, if that's not something that you can do because you listen to it and you think, that's really not something I would like to do, there's other ways of developing psychological well-being. There's activities, because on our greater purpose, they're called attention-focusing techniques. Again, you probably need some support in doing that. You can find online support for doing it. And the activities actually depend on ourselves. So I've talked to leaders who, for example, run, and they run every day, and they say that hour of running daily clears their mind, because as they're running, they're very focused on just the running. They're in the moment. And I know, again, people hate that term, but it's actually about being present in the moment so that you clear your brain of all the other anxiety and noise that's going on. And when you come out of that, you have really changed yourself in a very similar way to the mindfulness exercises. So if mindfulness isn't for you, think about activities that get you into that zone or flow that helps you to clear out the anxiety, so that when you come back to it, when you come back to thinking about your work and the next steps, you're going to be in a much better position to be creative in thinking about the future. In other words, you're going to be much more resilient. So those are the three key things: positive social networks, mindfulness, and or using activities that help you with attention focusing to put you into a place where you can manage yourself better. But there is one other thing that the research says can have some impact, but it can also cause some extra anxiety, apparently, according to some of the other research. And that's a technique called cognitive reframing, where we detach ourselves from our current situation and look at it as if we're outside it. And the technique suggests that you put yourself geographically into a different place in the world and look back at yourself in your current position. Look at it as an outsider. And for some people, that helps. So that might be something that would help people. I'm going to just pause there. Jim, just as I've talked a lot there, is there anything from that you think is something that you would like to reflect further on for listeners?
I think that everything that you've just laid out so eloquently, Lindy, is perfectly suited for the time. And again, I love the way you break it all out for people. Of the things that you just mentioned for us, what is something out of that somebody can implement right now, today, in this very moment? What are maybe a couple of those things, if not other things as well, that anybody listening who is that mindset of and fear and worry and panic, and what is something that they can do right now, today, that at least will sort of give them this sense that things do go on, we will get through this, it'll take some time, but you can take this moment and seize this moment, as you described so beautifully, to some things, to dig into other parts of who you are, and be creative and be forward. Some couple of things they can implement today.
So one of the immediate things is, if you're feeling really down, pick up the phone, go on Zoom, reach out to a friend just to talk to a friend, start the social network right away, but find somebody that you know is going to be, I would say, empathetic, not necessarily sympathetic to you, because I think you want somebody that's going to be able to listen to you, but be able to listen to you in a very thoughtful way. The second thing I would do is, for example, find something that is going to help you with the mindfulness or that focused attention that works for you. And you know, if I reflect on myself, there's a couple of things that work for me. One is I've been going out walking every day, social distancing. I'm lucky enough to have, although in a suburb, woodlands behind the house. And there are people walking, but not many people. And we're all practicing leaping about 15 feet from each other as we pass in order to keep that social distancing. But it's great to get outside at the moment with spring coming out, as you said earlier. The other thing that I do is I do a mix of Pilates and yoga, and there's lots of great sites that that you can go onto if you're interested. There's a site called, for example, yogadownload.com, which has masses and masses of different video lessons for all levels of yoga. If you've never tried it before, and you think it's something that, again, looks like it's something that weird people do, it's not. It's actually a very strenuous physical exercise that will help you both physically and mentally. So those would be a couple of things I'd do. One is connect with a friend. Two, find something that helps you get your attention focused and clears your head. And pick something that works for you.
Exactly. Meditation is good. Music is wonderful. And again, we're all, a lot of us are in the house with our loved ones. Time to reach the loved ones too and have dinner at the table and sort of share the human experience. If you really think about it, what is all the other running around and stuff that we do in our daily lives, conquering the world and slaying the dragon, if not for the ultimate result is to have love and you know, camaraderie within our own families and friendships. So now's that time to savor those moments in time that exist before us, before things start to get busy and ramped up again, which they will. We were in a moment where it was very interesting because we're practicing social distancing right now, and I've had this conversation with a number of people. We're practicing social distancing. However, just before all of this, we were already sort of practicing social distancing to begin with because we had our heads in our cell phones. We were glued to social media. Mm-hmm. We weren't really spending time with people, making time for people. A lot of people weren't doing that, and people were complaining about that. They were complaining about how come we're not like it used to be. We're not having a cup of coffee anymore at the diner. We're not talking. Nobody's relating. And now we're forced to have to be in a situation where we're socially distant, but yet not emotionally distant. And now that people are socially distant, and they're craving that camaraderie again. So it's really amazing how when something is taken away, we crave it. Yet when it was right there in front of us, we poo-pooed it and didn't have time for it. Maybe this is also a reset in our thinking in terms of how we treat each other going forward with kindness, respect, civility, empathy. And we take time for one another. And we take time when we accomplish things and when we, you know, slay the dragon and conquer the world and all these things that everybody wants to do, that we breathe, soak it in, savor it, and then move on to the next task. It seems like a little bit of a reset is happening as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I hope it stays afterwards, but we find it very easy to forget these things. The final thing that I would say is we do need to know what's happening in the news. We do not need to be checking the news every 5 minutes. We do not need the news streaming 24/7. It only serves to make us much, much more anxious. So the third thing that I do is I would encourage people to listen to the news, read the news for maybe 30 minutes, beginning, end of the day, if you have to look at it at the end of the day, and then just switch it off. Just switch it off. You don't need to hear it because things, yes, they're changing rapidly, but not that rapidly. And the more that we listen and the more that we see anecdotal stories that are horror stories, the more it actually undermines our resilience. So switch your screens off. Switch the news off.
That's right. Right, exactly. And switch the creativity on. Absolutely.
Yes.
Lindy, always a pleasure chatting with you and sharing this perspective with our audience, especially at this time. I mean, our conversations are always so in depth and so positive and helpful for people. But I'm really happy that you're on with us during this crucial time, providing guidance and advice and support. Again, you have this additional background, which is really at the forefront right now, which is having this background as a psychologist. And I think is called upon now more than ever in what you do. So thanks for taking time to share the wisdom, these ideas that we can implement in our lives right now to maximize what opportunity and time we have before us to be creative, to be connected, to surround ourselves with positivity, and also to step-by-step get through this situation collectively together. Thanks for all that you've been sharing with us thus far, and I look forward to conversation at the same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, next Friday, April 3rd. Can't believe it's April already next week. But I look forward to joining you again here on the program.
Jim, good talking with you. It's a pleasure as always.
You as well. You take care, and we'll chat again next week, Lindy. You be well. Our very special guest, Lindy Brewster of OR Consulting. I do want to make mention, you can go to her website to connect by going to orconsulting.us.com. That's orconsulting.us.com. Lindy Brewster, leadership development consultant and trained psychologist, and a wonderful friend of us here at Close Up Radio. We appreciate Lindy, and we appreciate you as well. Be well, everybody. From all of us here at Close Up Radio, we wish you the very best. We're here for you daily with multiple episodes, great guests from around the world. Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, have a good weekend. You take care and be well. And we'll talk again soon on our next episode of Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.